Tonight I want to talk with you concerning the three R's. A lot of times when we think of the three R's, we think of reading, writing, and arithmetic. And we've seen some importance with that over our lifetimes. It used to be in schools, they used to have something called achievement tests. They would be at the very end of the school year during the spring break. There was something called KEA, to where teachers, they would get together and they would go over the test that they were going to give their students at the very end of the year. And the test was going to be over what a student had been taught over the course of the year. And it seemed like it worked out very well. Why they decided this crazy cat's deal years ago and try to move away from achievement tests, I'll never know. But today they study just for a test alone instead of trying to teach a child over the course of a year. But that's the education system that many times we deal with today that it seemed like worked many years ago. But we're not going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about some more R's that we see in the Word of God, three spiritual R's. We want to go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Start there in verse 9, and we're going to go down through chapter 12, verse 1. Three verses here as we get our lesson for this evening. He says, first of all, in verse 9, rejoice, young man. That's going to be our first R. You can underscore that. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of your young manhood. Follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes, yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. Verse 10, he says, so remove, that's going to be the second R that we'll look at tonight, remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. And then the third R here in chapter 12 and in verse 1, remember also the Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no delight in them. The first we're going to look at tonight is that of rejoice. Rejoice, O young man. Rejoice, enjoy life in the strength of your youth. In Proverbs and in chapter 20 and in verse 29, Proverbs 20 and in verse 29, it says in verse 29, the glory of young men is their strength. And then he contrasts that with the honor of old men is their gray hair. And of course, we see there gray-headed, meaning that of wisdom. And hopefully people have gained wisdom as they've gained age within their life. But a young man is his strength. A young man is going to feel good. I can remember a time when I just felt good all the time. And maybe you can remember a time when you felt good all the time. I can remember getting out and getting off from work at the Bank of Louisville and going home and maybe changing clothes, maybe not, jumping in the car, traveling 2 hours to a gospel meeting to hear someone preach, and then afterwards maybe eat supper then, and then hop in the car 2 hours back and get home about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning and start the next day over again without any pain or any problems whatsoever, because of the fact you're young. And certainly many people have experienced that feeling of being young, and you just have a lot of strength and a lot of vitality, and you're able to do all the things that you want to do during that time because you are a young man or a young woman. In Ecclesiastes and in chapter 2, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and in verse 24, Ecclesiastes 2 and in verse 24, It says in verse 24, there is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink. And certainly we enjoy that. Maybe you enjoy that this afternoon, having something to eat and something to drink along with it. And tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen, that it is from the hand of God. In chapter 3 and in verses 12 and 13, it says, I know that there is nothing better for them to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, every man who eats and drinks is good in all of his labor, for it is a gift of God. And in chapter 5 and in verse 18, it says, here is what I've seen to be good and fitting, to eat, to drink, to enjoy oneself and all one's labor. And when he toils under the sun during a few years of his life, which the Lord has given him, for this is his reward. And just watching the children today after services were over, and in the enjoyment that they have in life, or the enjoyment, watched the children yesterday at the get-together that we had, and just enjoying the children, just having just a wonderful time because they're young, and they just have a tremendous amount of strength. In Acts chapter 14 and in verse 17, Acts chapter 14 and in verse 17, says Acts chapter 14 and verse 17, and yet he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good and gave you rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. And certainly something we've all experienced throughout much of our lives. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 17, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 17, he goes on to say there in verse 17, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Enjoy living when you're young. Enjoy living when you're healthy. I was thinking about just different things that people can enjoy, especially young people can enjoy. I can remember a time that we just enjoyed playing sports. I guess it was 20 years ago now when Danny and I, we tried to get out there and play sports with young boys, and it didn't work out that night because we both pulled muscles rather quickly and understood there are certain things now that you cannot do in this life anymore. Maybe some people enjoy shopping. I'd rather go to the dentist myself, maybe, but I don't enjoy shopping. But my wife, she enjoys shopping, and especially young people. When we were young, we would enjoy that. And maybe some people enjoy hunting, just quickly down through, fishing, or listening to music, or reading, or watching movies, or PS2 Nintendo. I don't know what it is now, Jeff. I don't know if there's PS8 Nintendo now. But skating or bowling or hiking or dirt bikes or girls like makeup, horse riding, stamp collecting, watching TV, board games, people like jewelry, four-wheeling, texting friends, just all sorts of things that people like to do, but especially people like to do when they're young, because they rejoice in the fact of being young. Well, not only does he say that, but he also says something else, and that is that you remove sorrow from your heart. Remove sorrow from your heart. And the idea here is that you need to put away evil within your life. You understand, there are things in this life, ladies and gentlemen, that are going to bring you pain. And we need to remove those things from our lives. In Romans and in chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, and in verses 13 and 14, Romans 13, verses 13 and 14, he said, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing or drunkenness, because we understand that dead end street. You involve yourself in that. Not in sexual promiscuity or sensuality. Again, another dead-end street. Not in strife or jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. In Proverbs and in chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 1. Proverbs 20 and in verse 1. Proverbs 20 and in verse 1, and it says, wine is a mocker, strong drink, a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. In fact, it goes on to say further in chapter 23 of Proverbs, in verses 29 through verse 35. Proverbs 23, verse 29. It says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Or who has redness of eyes? He goes on to answer. Those who linger long over the wine. Those who go to taste mixed wine. Do not look at the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent. It stings like a viper. I know that Linda has some snakes. But I tell you what, I don't know of anybody in here that would say, hey, Linda, I tell you what, why don't you take me over to the Louisville Zoo, get me into the area to where the rattlesnakes are, and let me just stick my arm in there and let the rattlesnake bite me. I don't know of anybody here that would want a rattlesnake to bite you. There's just something about that that tells us, no, that's something that I just don't want to do. I don't have a scorpion sting me. I don't want to have a snake to bite me. He talks about, well, that's the stupidity of you drinking, of you imbibing in these things. He says in verse 33, your eyes, you'll see strange things, and your mind will utter perverse things, verse 34. And you'll be like the one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or the one who lies down on the top of the mast. Verse 35, they struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? That I will seek another drink. That I'll start this process all over again. And we see people do this. Used to be on the weekends, to where they live for the weekends, to where they get drunk on the weekends. Now you just go over here, just a half a mile away over here to Marmaduke's, and you see them early in the morning, Monday through Friday, and they're already getting drunk for the week. It says you remove these things from your life. These things are not going to bless you as a young person. For that matter, as an old person. It goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in verse 18, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 18, flee immorality. Goes on to say there, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not of your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Or in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 4, Hebrews 13 and verse 4, it says, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, it's pure. But at the same time the marriage bed is pure, understand, he says here, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Not only that, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy and in chapter 6. In verses 6 through 10. 1 Timothy 6 verses 6 through 10. It said, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, for we cannot take anything out either. If we have food or covering, with these we shall be content. For those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some longing to have it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. The idea here is that of greed and covetousness. That you put away greed in your life. Put away drunkenness in your life. You put away immorality within your life. You put away greed within your life. Remove these things from your life. In 1 Peter and in chapter 3 and in verses 10 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verses 10 through 12. He says in chapter 3 and in verse 10. It says the one who desires life to love and to see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You see that many are involved in rebellion, riots, and ruin. We have the last thing here for tonight. He says to rejoice. He says for us to remove. And then finally the third R is, he tells us to remember now your Creator. To live for God every day. You must remember who is the Creator. In Genesis and in chapter 1 and in verse 1. Genesis 1 and in verse 1 it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In John chapter 1 and in verses 1 through 3. John 1 and in verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So, what do we learn? We learn that we shouldn't forget God. Moses, as he tells the people a second time concerning the law, we're in chapter 8 and in verse 11. And then down to verse 19, he says, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments or his ordinances or his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Beware lest you forget. I don't think it's the idea, well, we just don't have God in our mind. You know, I just forgot about God. I just forgot that he was there. No, what he's talking about here is forgetting God by not keeping his commandments. That's what we need to remember. That's the importance of studying the Bible so that we're able to keep His commandments. Then He goes on to say down to verse 19 of chapter 8, "And it shall come about that if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish." The word "remember" there, the word "remember" means to act upon, to act upon. We see this over in 1 Samuel in chapter 1, to where Hannah and Elkanah, they are desiring a child. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and in verse 19. 1 Samuel 1 and in verse 19. It says in verse 19, "And when they arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, they returned again to their house. Elkanah had relations with Hannah, and the Lord remembered her." Remembered her. He acted. He acted upon what He said, because she and her husband acted upon what they were doing. The Lord acted upon what He said. And we too need to do the same thing, like these young men of old, whether it was Daniel or Joseph or David or Josiah or Timothy. They acted upon the will of the Lord, even though they were at a very young age. They still acted upon the will of the Lord. They remembered the Lord. And we too. But not only to remember, but to remember now. To remember now. He states over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 2, he says, "At the accepted time I listened to you, on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And the last verse we'll look here tonight is Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 15. Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 15. It says in verse 15, "While it is said, today if you hear His voice," now, today, "if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me." So a little simple sermon concerning the three R's. For a young man to rejoice, because you're young, you have a lot of strength, you have a lot of things that you want to do within your life, and God gives you the opportunity to do those things. But as you do those things, number two, you need to remove those things that are going to bring sorrow to your life. And then finally, to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. To act upon the Creator now. You might be in this audience tonight, not a Christian, understanding that you're in a lost condition. Maybe that you need to be baptized into Christ. Or maybe for one that has fallen away from God for whatever reason. We have this occur many, many times. And because of the second law of pardon, you have the opportunity to repent of your sins and come back to the Lord. Whatever your need may be, I invite you to come now. I want to get to the stand for your sins.